welcome back to the Started Five podcast on SB Nation Grizzly Red Blues. I am the one _P Shark, aka Mr. 500 Shark Steel.
Oh man, I'm at _Scarlito. I'm also always be closing today. If you've ever been in sales, they always tell you to always be closing. And for the most part, generally, the Grizzlies have done a pretty decent job of closing their games.
And what's good, everyone? This is everyone's favorite corner man, Trev, turning up on Dillon Brooks Island to celebrate the Tigers from the NIT championship. So what's going on, everybody?
It's your boy Shitty. It's really Shitty on Twitter, man. Look out. I'm coming for Jaren's spot.
What's going on, y'all? It's your man, Tev Shakir, holding it down for the middle paint. And as many of people that have screwed themselves over, no deal. That's all, however they say, however it goes.
Nice deal and no deal reference there.
No deal.
Yep, no deals were made at all this week. But before we get there, let's talk about this other 500 2-2 week the Grizzlies had. Of course, we started off beating Boston. Luckily, Jason Tatum did not play, and they still took us to overtime. Closing the deal, like Scouter said, we had trouble closing, but then we finally closed the overtime. So, salute to them for pulling it off in OT. OKC, they took a nap in the first half once again. Almost got caught slipping again, and this time SGA wasn't even there. So, Ja was chilling again for no reason this time, but came out of the second half. After falling down by 12, came back, took care of business like they were supposed to. Then back-to-back Utahs, which were expected losses, but the first one, battled back, were down by like 21, came back. Lost in the end, Dillon Brooks did almost make that fadeaway shot. I had no problems with it. And specifically because the referees helped us out, because that ball was out on us. Utah should have had the ball. But Utah came, returned the favor, and blew us out the next night, and they're like on an 18-game home winning streak. So, hey. No problems there. So 2-2. What are y'all thoughts about this week?
Yeah, I think this week was basically what your name is, Sharky, Mr. 500. I think the reason my name was always be closing is because you saw in the Boston game and the OKC game, which I don't care who's on the floor and who's not on the floor, the Grizzlies are closing some of these games. And that's an issue that they had at the beginning of the season. So I'm hopeful for that. I think they've played with a great deal of confidence over the past couple of games. We did expect the Utah losses, but again, one of them was really close and they almost came back from a huge deficit. So solid four-game stretch here. We'll see how the next couple of games go, but I do like that they were closing out some of these games recently.
Yeah, as your name always said, always be closing. So a lot of these games earlier in the season that Memphis found themselves in, especially with the one this week with Boston OKC, we pretty much chalk up as almost a loss because Memphis, for some reason, just has an inability to close these games. But if I recall, I did have them losing to Boston last week. So kudos to them for finally for pulling that out on that one. Oklahoma City, of course, they fell asleep once again. Apparently, Lou Dort was getting to Ja a little bit, but apparently the rest of the squad was able to turn it up and eventually come out with a W there. I was hoping they would split that Utah series, that home and home against Utah. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case. But all around, just a great weekend, just right on pace with Mr. 500.
Yeah, the thing about this week for me was I actually called them going 3-1. And so we were close to getting there if we were to close out at least that first game with the Jazz. But I think the thing that I really liked about this past week was we streaked. We won three games straight. Yes, we've lost two, but at least we've won three in a row as well. And that's one thing, as Mr. 500 would tell us, 500 is great, but if you can be better than 500, let's do that. And let's put together games to prove that we are better than just 500. And so I know we'll talk about this in the upcoming week, but 2-2, not bad. Again, you're losing to considerably the best team in basketball right now with the Jazz. So you're okay with that. You're really glad that they close out again. Great segue for closing with the Celtics and really the Thunder as well.
Right. So I, of course, had us coming into this week or to this podcast, rather, coming into a three-game losing streak. It's a 2-game losing streak, so I'll take it. I had us going 1-3 with us thinking we lose against actually the Thunder. So let's take the game to Boston. Kind of felt that we carried that momentum from the Warriors game, right? Into, you know, finally getting the win against Boston. Shout out to Ja Morant, who all this week, man, was at the top, near the top of shot attempts, right? You know, this is what I've asked for. Definitely led the team in assists, but that's also what I've been wanting, like, you know, number one, number two in shot attempts, and he was that for this week. So it's big kudos to him. As far as the OKC game goes, I remember watching that at halftime and, you know, thinking, oh, coming into halftime when they were down like 10, 12, and I tweeted like, yo, energy and discipline. Like, that is how y'all are supposed to win for the rest of the season. And I don't know what it was, but it's like as soon as I tweeted that, it's something clicked. So you're welcome. As far as the Utah games go, 18-game win streak, like y'all said, at the crib. They're number one in the West for a reason. So the first game was close to us, could have won, but we didn't. Of course, he say, she say, we could have won, should have, could have, would have. But then Utah came back and showed us, hey, we are the number one team in the West for a reason, which, you know, they were supposed to do to a young grid. So Mr. 500, dead on right again. You know, we got Utah again coming up, so I'm pretty sure we're going to get into all that. But 500, I'll take it. I'll definitely take it.
Yeah, and then let's be honest, you can't ask the Grizz to basically duplicate what they did on Friday on Saturday. Like, they exerted a lot of energy in that 21-point comeback to even make this game close. And then that's a tall task for them to have to get up and actually do it again the very next day against the exact same team. So that last one on Saturday, that was pretty much expected.
Yeah, I was surprised nobody rested for that game because you're playing high altitude. Yeah. You gave everybody up for Friday night. I wouldn't got mad if they rested.
Well, y'all got on them earlier this season about resting, so why would they rest?
Because all these back-to-backs they got coming up, and they are deep enough now. When they rested earlier, they did. I don't know why they were doing it.
Yeah, they didn't have much in the depth chart there. But now that they got majority of everyone back, they can start resting. So
right. Speaking of almost everyone being back, Triple J news came out. Zach Kleiman had his presser and said he would be back by the end of April. So take for that what you will. Y'all want to speak on it, or we can move on.
Honestly, I saw the news and kept scrolling. I'm at the point where, I mean, the Grizzlies are, if Triple J is coming, he's coming. If he's not, then we'll keep moving. Like, I honestly don't care. I believe it when I see it.
All I got to say is if this is happening, that means Memphis is better be in the play-in. Because if they're not in the play-in, then I don't expect to see them this season. And I'm staying by their point. So
can I ask y'all something in full transparency? When an injury like this happens, right, and he was scheduled to come back when? January?
Yep.
Would I be feeding too much into it and say maybe something went wrong in the surgery? Am I reaching?
I don't think you're reaching that somewhere wrong with the surgery. I think that sometimes we try to, and not we, but like people try to, like, if this person is supposed to be out like 2 to 4 months, right? Mm-hmm. We're always go to the 2 months as opposed to the 4 months, right? We want to go to the shortest term possible to get that person, whether it's back playing football or basketball, whatever it may be, the nature of the sport. And so I think sometimes we just try to like, oh, well, this person did it so quick. And we know Triple J is going to do it just as fast, if not faster. And you might rush the process. Everyone's body's different. That young man is still, 21, 22? His body is still growing. Yeah. So who knows, you know, what really happened? But at this point, listen, we're into March. It might as well be April next time we sneeze. Let that man just rest, and we'll run it back with him next season.
Yeah, the Grizzlies, they didn't do a good job of just kind of – this is the first true news they gave about him. Really, because even in the January news, he gave that in the interview with Mark Spears, I want to say, for the MLK Day thing. He said he'd be back at the end of January. So, I mean, the Grizzlies could nip this out in the bud and say at the beginning of the season, he won't be back to the end of April.
I mean, devil's advocate here, though, just a little bit. I'm pretty sure they've been monitoring, like, his progress, if you will, throughout this whole entire season. So I guess they didn't really want to rush him back too soon. to the point to where he re-injures himself. Like we all just said, like he's 21, his body's still developing. If I'm not mistaken, prior to the season starting, didn't they say he grew a few inches?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's an adjustment there. So, of course, as far as like workout, practicing and all of that stuff, like his new body as he's growing has to adjust to that. So that could be a reason why it was kind of hard to gauge a little bit with 3J. But again, I don't expect to see him this season. If he's out there, he's out there. But I just say just let him sit. And as she said, we'll run it back with him next season. So.
Yep. So let's get back to the current players who are playing. We missed it last week on our start of the week. So who's your start of the week of this week?
I'll go first. I'll go real quick. For me, it's John Morant. I think it was you that just mentioned too. I think the consistency, and you still see the pressure that John Morant is putting on the defenses over the past couple of games, really since he got that tech, right? So I think I'm glad to still see that he has that fire, except when he plays OKC, that fire to really just kind of stop the other team. So John Morant for me is the Grizz of the week.
Getting them dividends, man. Getting them dividends. My star of the week is none other than Dylan Brooks. Granted, he got cooked last night by Donovan Mitchell. Not going to dispute that. But just his energy, his willingness to just do whatever it takes to get the Grizzlies going over this past week is why the Grizzlies are, you know, where they are with this 500. I think probably probably the best games that he's played since he's gotten to Memphis in the games against Boston and OKC, which resulted in wins. And he was at the forefront of leading this Grizzlies comeback from 21 down against Utah. Granted, we didn't come up with the W, but Friday looks like Saturday if Dylan Brooks doesn't do what he does on Friday night. So my star of the week would definitely be Dylan Brooks. So dividends keep on coming in, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, shout out to Dylan Brooks, man. I definitely will give him the Grizz of the week as well. Not even just with, like you said, the Utah game. And not only many times do we highlight someone in a loss, right? But Dylan Brooks really was the reason why the scoreboard looked the way it did. I mean, he wasn't afraid to take that three. He wasn't afraid to take back-to-back threes, to be honest, even though he missed the second one.
When is he over?
But that second one actually had a good rotation on it. It just didn't go down all the way. And so give me Dylan Brooks. And in the spirit of the trades, in the spirit of me being like always off level with the Grizz of the Week, also give me Mike Conley as the Grizz of the Week. Mike Conley, because of that trade for Mike Conley, created everything that we have going for Memphis right now. So in the spirit of that, we just missed the trade deadline, Mike Conley as well as the Grizz of the Week.
I like that. So this would normally be a time when I give, you know, JV his normal dues, you know, 19 boards, 15 boards, 18 boards. We ain't going to talk about the last game. So I would give JV his roses, but I'm actually going to go a different route. I'm also going to go to the player who I'm still excited to see started. That is Mr. Grayson Allen himself. Energy, defense, effort, which is why I love the fact that he's in the starting lineup. But he is lighting up from the three as well. Now, we go back to the Boston game, three threes, four threes against OKC, five threes against the Utah game. Like, star Grayson Allen is my hashtag for a reason, ladies and gentlemen. Start him. Now, rather Dylan start next to him, hey, he doing his thing. This is cool and whatnot. But I'm going to forever be on the star Grayson Allen bandwagon until he tells me otherwise. So start of week is definitely Grayson Allen.
Yep, sorry, Grizz fam. We're on the Grayson train over the Anthony Melton train. So
absolutely.
Come at us. We don't care. We want to smoke. But give me Dylan. Hey, that's no problem. I like the Anthony Melton, but I get tired of people arguing over your 6 or 7 best players. Man, right. It's this pointless argument, man. Both of them are good. play on both, God dog. But give me Dylan Brooks, man. Those three games in a row from OKC, with Boston, OKC, and Utah. His energy, his presence actually was felt in a positive way. Pretty much overall this season, like I said, he's shown his improvements. And I actually do see, like, it kind of makes you, like, just think of how we was feeling about Dylan Brooks in August. And think about how we feel about him now. It is clear, like, night and day. Now, it we is. Don't love him.
I've turned from probably the biggest Dylan Brooks criticizer, because I came out when we started and said trade Dylan Brooks, and now I'm one of his biggest supporters, literally night and day. So.
Right. So, had no problems with him. Man, good week for him. But that's my Chris of the week. Although JV almost had me with all them rebounds. Man, that was some rebounding number clinic he'd have put on this.
Man is cleaning the glass.
JV! 19,
15, 18. He even had 11 last night. So, you know. Yeah.
Windex.
Can't beat that. Now, let's go to our next segment. Trade talk. No deal happened. And Gorgeous Jane got waived. So, anybody got anything? Think we should have made a deal for anybody?
Exactly. It went exactly how I said it was going to be last week. They're going to try to find a partner for Gorgie. If they don't find anyone, he's probably going to be waived. So,
yeah, I mean, I think at the beginning of the season, of course, we would have loved to see we had that talk with Zach LaVine or Beal on Beal, right? But at this point, both of those teams are not looking to be in the playoffs. We are in. And so, yes, that would be a piece that we would love to have. But again, we talked about this last year. Run it back. We're running it back now. So,
I like the fact that we stayed pat. Coming into the season, I said, like, let's see what we got. We're going all in with that method. Let's just see what we got. And we're seeing it. Like I said, we're 500 team, which I'll take. You know, we're still pretty young, but we got it. Salute to Gorgie. I think he signed with the Spurs, who's also making a playoff push as well. So good luck to him.
Cool. So I fellow GB Beer and host of the 3&D podcast, Justin Lewis, came out with NBA keeper rankings for a blog post this past week, and to our very own Mr. Trail and Tail Shakir participating in the keeper rankings. And I'm about to share my screen now. Here we go. Trev and Tev. It rhymes too. That's what's up.
It rhymes.
I'll have y'all explain y'all thought. So the GBB ranking was BC. Brandon Clark is number one. Both of y'all had Brandon Clark at number one. After that, it's a whole bunch of clutterness. So both of y'all did agree with JV at number two, which GBB disagreed as a total. He's tied for six on the whole totality of the list. I don't know who all, how many people participated, but y'all started to differ at three. So Trev had Dylan, which two. Trev, you had him down at nine.
I mean, did you expect something less?
I'll let him go first. I don't go first on why.
All right, so as far as Dylan Brooks go, I feel like so I had Grayson Allen at four, D-Mel at five, Tyus Jones at seven. I had those there for a reason, because I feel like as building blocks, those are better players going forward for the Grizz. And what I mean by that is most championship teams, they have a system. They know what works for them. They get you going. Miscellaneous players that – jack up shots for the most part for their own entertainment or benefit or whatnot, they eventually don't win championships. So I don't think that Dylan Brooks, as good as he's been very recent, of course, I don't think he's somebody that you can build a team around, especially when you can upgrade that two position. So I think going forward, I would rather see Grayson and Tyus on the team. You know, Tyus backing up Ja Morant. Grayson hopefully still starring, but if not, it's because it's an upgrade at the two position for the Grizz, other than Dylan Brooks. So that's my take on that one.
For me, every team needs a spark plug. Every single team. Everybody needs that guy who's going to give his all for the team. His play may look shaky, may look bad if you look at a box score, look at a stat sheet. But if you watch the game and you just watch it throughout, you see just his presence on the floor, whether it's defending, whether it's albeit creating a shot for himself, sometimes to our dislike. And you can just sense it. Like Dylan hitting a big shot or just making a shot with the shot clock winding down, where there's no way the Grizzlies are gonna get something off clean. And then just the willingness to sit down in the stands and willing to go out and at least attempt to defend the other team's best player, like it becomes infectious. And then if it actually pays off and he's able to contain that guy, as we saw a couple of times with them matching up against the Wizards, it becomes infectious to the rest of the team, and it plays into how this team operates. If I'm not mistaken, our very own at Core Four basically dubbed Dylan the new grandson. So if we're trying to do grit and grind 2.0, and I'm not saying that he's exactly like T.A., but if we're going to have our own inclination of Tony Allen, Dylan Brooks is that guy.
I know we got to go on. We can definitely continue this later, but I disagree with him being the quote unquote grandfather. For one, I think it's disrespectful to Tony Allen. But as far as everything you just said about Dylan Brooks, I think the Grizz finding a better player to take those shots, a better spark. I mean, what's a better spark plug than Ja Morant, right? And for three, find me a player like Dylan Brooks that's won a championship over the last few years. That's my thing. My thing is winning a championship. That's what I want ultimately.
Name a player like
that. J.R. Smith.
J.R. Smith.
I mean, he got LeBron.
He do. But You said names on one.
J.R. Smith.
All right.
Sure.
You put LeBron on the Grizz and give me 100 J.R. Smiths, they still
positive. I said, you could put Dylan with LeBron and you still win.
You put Dylan with LeBron, you pretty much going to get the same result in that J.R. Smith role. So.
And they barely won one, but whatever. You got it.
The reason I had Grayson as low as 10 is more so of how he's been playing this season. Like he's kind of been streaky as far as when he's been in and out of the lineup. Some days he shoots the ball well, some days he doesn't shoot it well. Of course, D-Melt and Bane, of course, in the times that they got with Grayson being out with their concussion, has shown a little bit more promise than Grayson. And then everyone else that I had above him is just based on position need. Like, definitely going to need a big. And then I was debating between Justice and Grayson because I'm not sure what Justice is going to look like down the road if we decide to bring him back. So that was probably my only reason. But with Grayson being as low as he is, I just think he had a chance to be up on the list. But I just think those other nine just plays just a little bit more, has a tad bit of more importance there.
And 2K, I'm at 4. So we know his love for Grayson. So I know we got to dive more into that. But based on these two that y'all pretty much, I think everybody else y'all kind of consistent on, GBB, lean more towards Trey up on Dylan. They had him as 4 as a totality. And with Grayson, they lean more towards straight up as well. Yep, had him exactly at 10. So
the reason Gorgie's not on my list because I said that he wouldn't be a Grizzly past this weekend for those wondering.
Right, which I was surprised they still kind of had him on there. But he was still on the roster at the time. This blog was written later the day before the draft. So two more things I want to say: the difference between y'all list that y'all kind of agreed on, GBB disagreed with, is a totality of combining everybody's rankings. Y'all had JV at 2. They had him tied for 6 with Kyle Anderson. And they have Justice as 5th, and y'all have him at 19-10. Trev have him at 9, and Tail has him at 10. So y'all got any thoughts on disagreeing GBB fam?
I don't see how a center that's giving you 15 boards a game can be so four down the list. He does literally everything that Marc Gasol did. Maybe not passes better. Okay, cool. We give you that. But still, 15 boards and can hit the three. But y'all want to trade him? Just give him away. Just give him away. Just give him away.
Yeah, I was pretty much the same thing. A guy that gives you basically 15 and 15 every single night. And the front office has been on paper numerous times has saying that, hey, Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to be playing the four, which, of course, inevitably, I think he's better off at the five. All he just needs to do is work on his rebounding. But for the time being, if you're going to have 3J at four, you're going to need somebody like Jonas Valanciunas who can get you 15 to 15 on a nightly basis to help mask up 3J's rebounding woes. So for the way the Grizzlies want to play, yeah, JV is pretty much important there. So
the reason Z-Bo was successful is because of Mark. The reason was successful is because of Z-Bo. It's going to be literally the exact same thing. Maybe better. We'll see. Literally.
That's where we disagree, because I think Grizzlies is going to realize that they're better off playing 3J at the five, and then that's when everything's going to take off. But at least we agree here. So and JV is
right.
I had a quick one. I think one thing that I'm noticing in between all three lists is with somebody that I think just should be moved a little bit higher, maybe close to top five, because we've seen his importance, is Tyus Jones. If you saw what the Grizzlies looked like before we got to the bubble and what they looked like in the bubble, and you saw that their second unit was lacking something, they were lacking direction, that was Tyus Jones. And so I mean, I see on GBB's list, he's 9. I think Travis, he's 7. And Tukes is 7, too. But low-key, you can make a case for him being top 5. Because a lot of teams, you need a second guy to be able to run their offense.
Yeah, and for me,
I had a huge problem for my 5-7. Like, man.
Same here.
You're right.
Same here. Between Bane, Melton, and Tyus, it was tough. But I definitely was not going to keep Tyus. Definitely wouldn't have put him at 9. But I just felt that the way De'Anthony Melton has been playing as of late was a little bit more important than Desmond Bane, who's finally we have a shooter for the most part, someone who can help space the floor for the Grizz. I think those two were just a little bit more important than Tyus. But you could really make a case for either of those three for any one of those spots between 5 and 7, easily.
Right, and watch out for Tillman. Tillman, I got Tillman at 6. I think when we talk about Jaren at the 5, which I can see, I think Tillman will eventually be a 5, you know, backup 5 going forward, especially with his body and his skill set. You know, he's pretty much going to be like a player we're about to talk about in just a second. But I like his skill set, especially for a rookie. I like him a lot, but Tyus is a backup point guard for Jai. I love that.
Yeah.
Good job, fellas. Salute to Justin Lewis for this blog post, and just keep it rolling. But now it's time for a break. All right, so we're back, and this time we're going to change to a new segment or a different segment. We had the segment before. Trash talk. And if you were sleeping on the rock this week, you saw our fellow grandfather, which Tuke actually mentioned earlier, Tony Allen, got into a little squabble with his homeboy and Tuke's boy, Draymond
Green. Hey, you know what I'm saying? He helped win a couple championships. It is what it is.
Let me start with what happened. So SportsCenter posted a post of Draymond saying, I think I'm the best defender to ever play in the NBA. I stand by that I put myself up against anyone. So, TA comes in and says, Big Cal, who stamped you? Who you clamp? In the words of Jay-Z, we don't believe you. You need more people. And he did come on Chris Vernon, and he did say he was listening to Jay-Z that day. So that's how they came to his mind.
Shout out to Jay. Shout out to Tony for listening to Takeover.
Then Draymond responded. Of course, Draymond is going to respond. He actually tagged Draymond in this post because SportsCenter posted what Draymond said. So TA tagged Draymond. Draymond responded, "I was waiting on you to stamp me, big homie, but your stamp book started running low in 2015 when we used you against your team on the way to my first championship."
I mean, which is interesting.
It's true. They played Jabal Gallum, but Tony Allen did have a hamstring injury as well that was hindering him from moving like he was supposed to be moving. And this is a conversation about defense. That's offense.
They use offense as a defense. But, I mean, you know.
But Tony Allen won't go anyway.
The only thing hindering him is that damn jump shot was hindering him. But that's neither here nor there.
But he still could draw a pass bucket with the hamstring. The hamstring was healthy, though.
Yes,
yeah. But of course, Tony Allen, he won't go on. He won't go on for that. Like your stamp book now, because it's 4-5 out there right now, my boy. Hashtag Kyle Clay.
Wow, Tony.
That hashtag was the icing on the cake. I love it.
How do y'all feel about this?
I'll start it off. I could do nothing but laugh at this because this is hilarious. Tony Allen explained it, I believe, the very next day on Chris Brennan's show, basically saying he's getting paid to guard the other team's best player the last couple of minutes of the game. Draymond Green, of course, while a decent defender in his own right, it's not known for actually locking up somebody. If you don't believe me, look no further than the 2015. I want to say, actually, yeah, the 2015, the year you won a championship. Look no further than the 2015 playoffs when you was getting cooked by Anthony Davis for New Orleans when there was nobody but just Anthony Davis. So, yeah, it is what it is there. But I lean 100% towards the grandfather on this one. This is hilarious, though. I couldn't do nothing but laugh. I enjoyed it. It's fine.
And by the way, Tony Allen wasn't trying to say he was the best ever defender as well. He was just saying Draymond is not. And he was saying.
Yeah. I mean, when you get a stamp of approval from Kobe, Jamal Crawford, and KD, three of probably the best scorers in NBA history, you got some stripes right there. So there you go.
Yeah, for me, I love the hashtag. The hashtag was – that was it for me. The hashtag called Clay was that's a shot to the chin. I don't know if Draymond can pick up after that one. But I'm with Tony Allen on this one. I mean, I think from what I've seen, from what other people have said, like Trevor just said, that Tony Allen is one of the most lockdown defenders that this game has seen. Draymond in his own right is a really he's more something known as a help defender. Like Trevor just said, Anthony Davis has cooked you plenty. And I do mean plenty of times. And so, and then also in this day and age, there's not that many bigs in the league as they probably used to be. So Tony Allen is the grandfather. He's one of the best known defenders I've ever seen.
Draymond is not even the best big defender that I've ever seen. I think of people, and I know Shannon Sharp had tweeted a few of these already. Dennis Rodman shut down Karl Malone in the playoffs and kept him from a ring. And was very instrumental in like getting in your head and really one-on-one defense was locking you up. There was no help defense back then. And even Hakeem Olajuwon, who is the leader in shot blocks at the time upon his retirement. And so you're not even the best in big man defender, let alone best defender. And to our point, Tony Allen was not saying he's the greatest, right? But Tony Allen is definitely in the category and is great to because outside of Memphis, people know who Tony Allen is because of that great defense and what the culture that he brought to Memphis to play that style of defense. However, Draymond, I mean, you had to play some type of role on a championship team. I'm not discrediting that at all. I mean, even Harrison Barnes played a role, right? And so I'm not discrediting Draymond or any accolades that he has. I just need to tell him you're not the best big defender I know either.
So first things first, Tony Allen to me is the best defender in NBA history. Like y'all said, Kobe said it, KD said it. Jamal Crawford said it, T-Mac said it, like just a bunch of great scorers in the NBA said they hated going against Tony Allen, right? And to me, when you have those level of players saying that, we gonna take it for that word. But as the Warriors bandwagons fan that I am, I didn't like the pure disrespect that I was seeing on Twitter for Draymond saying that, because I did see Draymond Green anchor that defense as a center, you know, through their championship run. Not to mention Steph Curry, who's honestly one of the worst defenders in the league. You got him on the court. You hiding him in the corner. So, of course, Draymond got to play help defense. Everybody's scoring on Steph. You got Klay doing his same, locking down. Harrison Barnes, he all right. He got a big body, whatnot. He know how to move. But when you think about the Warriors' run, they were historic on offense, but they were also number one in defense. And it's because of Draymond Green being in the middle doing what he do. So I'm not saying he's a top 20 defender, but I'm saying he should be respected. And if he feels like he's the best defender, being able to guard a point guard or a center, Draymond got a big mouth anyway, so let him add fuel to his fire. So, I mean, that's how I felt about the whole thing. But let's not call Draymond a terrible defender on Twitter, y'all. Let's not say he was worthless. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. He's a 6'7 center on the championship-winning team. Like, come on, man.
I mean, yeah, he does have a decoy, for Christ's sake. So, I get you. Right.
don't listen to the trolls.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but still, I mean, it's hard because, like I said, I love the Grizz. I love watching the Warriors play. When people say stupid stuff, it's kind of hard to keep ignoring the stupidity. Sometimes you do have to respond. So this is me responding to it. I didn't respond on Twitter. This is me responding to it like the bigger man I'm supposed to be. Thank you to Grizzly Bear Blues for allowing me to have this platform to be able to do such things.
Hey, man. And also, don't forget about, I know Memphis, we don't like him, but don't forget about Iguodala on that Warriors team.
Right.
But yeah, Draymond, I think Tony, I agree. I'm with Tony on it, as in Tony Allen's main thing was let other people say that. And I think that's why he's like, who stamped you?
I'm with that.
Had Kobe, he's had KD, he's had Jamal Crawford say this. You ain't got to say you were the best defender to have somebody else say that. And nobody said that about him yet.
Good point.
I don't know if they will after this comment, but
good point, bro.
Yeah, so that was a good fun segment. So let's go end it off with our typical weekly preview or predictions. So upcoming week, we are now 21-22. We were above 500 for a second. Now we're back below 500. We got at the Houston Rockets, who, yeah, they just lost a game. They were up by 16 points with 7 minutes left and allowed Minnesota to go on a 22-0 run to win the game by six.
Wild things.
And then this is after beating Toronto to break the 21-game losing streak. That's just sad.
But so, keep going. I'll say that should be a must-win, but let me finish out the schedule. At Houston versus Utah, get them at home this time. Not at their 18-game winning streak, high altitude place. We get them here in the M. And we play Minnesota Friday, and we play at Philly next Sunday, which we'll probably record before the episode, we'll probably record before that game, but we'll still include in here. So, what is your record over these next four games?
I'm going 3-1. I'm going with a win against Houston. I'm going with, again, a win against Utah. I'm going with a win against Minnesota, and they lose the Philly game. Book it.
I'm actually going 3-1 as well. I say they lose the game against Utah, but they win at Philly.
Here we go. I want 3-1. My heart says 3-1. My head says 2-2. And my two losses are the Jazz, the two teams that are significantly better stat wise. Are the Jazz and the 76ers. But in order for us to actually start making statements, because we're sitting around that 7-10 range, let's say we're in the 9th seed or 10th seed, we want to beat a team twice before they beat us once, right? And so at some point, we got to knock the Jazz in the mouth. And so give me 3-1.
Give me 2-2. I'm a 500. Give me a win with the Rockets and a win against Minnesota. I think we're going to lose against Utah again, and I think that Philly is going to beat us as well. I think we talk about Philly, even though they're missing Joel Embiid, they are, like, Doc Rivers are doing a good – he's doing a good job with that team as far as, like, discipline goes. So.
Tobias Harris.
Tobias Harris is going to probably put 30 points on us. Whoever's guarding him, good luck with that. Or maybe Steph Curry may put up 30. Who knows? But give me a loss against Philly. So give me 2-2.
I want so bad to say 3-1, but y'all know me. Mr. 500 Shark still.
500.
2-2. Right. Don't ask me which two games they're going to win, which two they're going to lose. 2-2. They 500. This is who we are, Sheedy. We're going to be in the 8, 9, 10, or whatever range. And we're going to be 36-36.
Unfortunately, exactly. I hear you.
All right, man. Well, that was good. Fun episode, man. Remember, follow us on Twitter at Starting5, the number 5, MEM. Follow Gristy Bear Blues at SBN Gristies. And listen to the other podcasts on the network, 3ND Podcast, the Core 4 Podcast, and GBB Live. And remember to follow me at @The1_P-Shark.
I'm @_ScottLito on Twitter. Again, the Grizzlies will be closing this week. 3-1, book it.
And yes, this is the Chief of Staff reporting live from Dylan Brooks Island. I'm @TheOtterTrevor. The first letter of each word is capitalized except of, because it is a preposition.
Man, give me the 3-1 Streaklies. Not the Grizzlies, but the Streaklies. And this really Sheedy on Twitter.
Yes, make sure y'all follow me @TabShakir. And when things get wrong, just scream, no deal.
Deal or no deal. And Scout should change his name to Always Be Booking instead of Always Be Closing. He keeps saying book it. But till next time, fam, remember, this to us every Monday. Till next time, go Grizz.
Go Grizz.